song that driving new. Freedom is just another word for nothing left to lose. Nothing, I mean nothing, honey, if it ain't free. Yeah, feeling with those kids alone and sang the blues.
We got the Rational Revolution.
I love that
Senator
song.
Elect Chris Elf, I'm singing us into from break. I do have a big question I want to ask in a little bit, but I want to finish up that topic because you, I mean, you're running two households. Most people have an apartment down there. Is your wife going to go with you, or what?
No. I think again, I'm not going to do an apartment as of
you're
yet.
Not?
I think
okay.
The way it's going to look, I'll probably spend the first 6 months will be the busiest down there because
yes.
You need to get your face and meet everyone. Yeah. Everybody needs an opportunity to meet you face to face. So I would say the first 6 months, plus it's the budget season. So now through the end of June, we'll be busy and I'll probably be down there, you know, potentially 2 to 3 days a week once we, you know, from January on. But I'm not going to do an apartment. I think it mathematically, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, it's tough, yeah.
But it is a challenge. And again, for me as a calendar person, you can time block. You know, again, my full-time job, my real business.
Are you going to keep that job? Are you going to still do?
Okay. I love what I do. I love my clients. I love, you know, it's puzzle building to me. So I enjoy what I do. It's successful. And I really do it in about, you know, 15 hours a week so I can control that calendar. So all along, I knew that I would be able to do both. It's just the transition that gets chunky, which is a lot. And I had to push a little bit to get caught up. But my clients love me. I love them. It's good for me to have something else. Side, so I can juggle both at the same
time. That's awesome. All right, here's this is a big question. It's radio appropriate, yes. But it's a pretty deeply personal one.
Okay.
And I think that it's important. So follow with me as I go. I ask you this because of your grace and your personality to working with everybody and your ability to do that. And I really think we're going to need this over the next couple of years, at least. I was born a straight white male in America.
Mm-hmm.
I won life's lottery. I understand that. I've never once in my life been discriminated against, ever. But my brother is gay. My wife is a black woman. I am a little more keenly aware than some other people in our country that there is a problem. And the word colleague can mean some different things. And your insurance business colleague would be your, you know, assistant or salespeople or whatever. But in the Senate, colleague, they're the people that occupy the halls of power with you. Mm-hmm. And there are people, and this is my words, not yours, there are people in this that have shuffled around the state Senate that, here's looking at you, Andre Jacques, that, again, my words, but they represent very diverse people. And some of those colleagues have used the deepest part of your life, and not you personally, but, you know, and who you love, what your family looks like. They've used those things as a political football to be kicked around.
Mm-hmm.
And if some of your colleagues in the Senate would have said publicly what, if they were colleagues in your insurance business, those people would be fired.
Right.
For discrimination, for bigotry, whatever. And now you sit amongst those colleagues and they say, let's work together.
Mm-hmm.
I would have the most difficult time not telling them where they can go, what they can eat, and who their mother is. How do you do that?
Well, again, different people process things differently. Right. I am not someone that in my entire life that holds things in. It does me no good. I just don't. I think I remember teaching my 14-year-old at one point in time when something went wrong, you know, your answer is fix it or forget it.
Mm.
If you can't fix what was done, you just have to let it go because I don't have the capacity to hold in angst. And again, as an example, I reached out to my opponent the day before the election and said, hey, congratulations on running a hard race, because it is hard. Only candidates will understand really how hard it is. I said, no matter what happens, I hope that we can meet for coffee. If you are lucky enough to win, I would love to be a resource to you. And if I am lucky enough to win, I really would like to hear what you have to say about healthcare, because he's a physician. He's got things, he's got ideas. And I reached out that olive branch because that's what adults do.
Yeah.
Right? Now, that doesn't take away people have a right to be offended. Mm-hmm. People have a right to be angry at the words, the thoughts, and the actions that have been taken by some. But in the end, what is my job? My job is to move forward and get it fixed. So you never get anything accomplished by holding in that angst. So I am just someone who's going to move forward. I am not a grudge-holding kind of person. I am a defender of what's right, and I will do my very best to help educate through. Again, of all the time that I've spent in Madison and D.C., I don't believe there are many evil people in the world.
Right.
There's a couple. There's a couple, and we can't do anything about it.
Right.
But most people are just trying to do a good job in what they think is the right direction. My job is going to be to help them realize that they know a lot of people like me. Mm. There's an awful lot of people like me in their community, in their family, in their entire lives. And what's interesting is they're probably very accepting of those people. They just don't realize, or they have not connected the dots on how action A affects those people. Mm. You know, again, it's a level of knowledge and understanding and compassion that I think the reason that we are feeling more people kind of lean blue in those suburbs is because there's more people like me stepping up.
Right.
There's more people out there that you realize that you have something in common with, that you have coworkers, you have people you've known for 30 years as good-hearted, solid individuals that make good choices in life and you want to be around. It doesn't really matter what the label is that follows them. They're humans.
Yeah.
Right? My job is to continue that teaching. Continue the teaching. I'm not going to go down there. Again, I'm not a pitchfork person. So I'm going to go down there as who I am.
Right.
Which is a very solid, competent individual who understands how to have a great conversation and have the ability to help people realize information they didn't have before and then take action on it. And if I'm lucky, if I'm successful, then I will open up some minds and hearts down there. And those that aren't willing to do that, well, that's on them.
I think it's so tough because people have come up to me since this, you know, since November 5th. And, you know, friends of mine have said, it's coming to the point where I just can't. And I try to impress upon them, like, but you have to.
You have to.
You have to because, you know, and my brother, God bless him, Donald Trump used the LGBT community as a wedge issue to divide the country to put him in power.
Yeah.
I understand where it's like you don't want to talk to people about that.
Yeah.
But like you're not going to change anyone's heart or mind or whatever by meeting them with a middle finger.
Right. Or stopping to talk to them.
Right.
Again, you can't, it is a difficult situation and there is no perfect, this is not the way that everybody needs to respond, right? This is just the way that I internally, emotionally, physically deal with things. I am not going to hold a grudge for the next conversation because in the end, my mission is the same, you know, be who I am, share that and help people realize what they don't know or help people realize the impact of decisions that they've made that potentially they weren't on purpose. There's a lawful, I have a great, great conservative attorney that I work with. And I know that I am he wasn't in my district this year, but I am the only Democrat he has ever voted for in his entire life.
That's cool.
And we sat down after the election and he talked about immigration. Mm. And he's an attorney that works, you know, many times in the rural communities. And he referred to the fact that his candidate is literally running the risk of ruining the farmers because they're reliant so heavily on the immigrant workforce. Mm-hmm. And so those little things have an impact. He's putting two and two together, an effect on someone that's not him because of a decision he's made. He had many conversations with me about how his eyes have opened because of our relationship. He sees and feels things differently. So we impact people by being people. We impact human nature by showing human nature comes in a lot of different packages and a lot of different sizes. So I look at it as when I walk into a facility, I mean, if somebody knows, you know, who I am or who I'm married to, I'm going to be the absolute, you know, most professional, nicest, kindest, most humble person that you ever met who happens to be married to a woman. Right. And if that's going to put it over the edge for you, all right.
I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know what to tell you, but, you know, this is what it is. So, again, there's no perfect answers here. But I think that holding rage inside is never healthy for an individual. I don't think it's healthy for our party.
No.
I think that we have to realize, and if we have to realize that there's a lot of good people out there that made a mistake.
Yeah.
And what a lot of those people don't realize is that we actually worked for them.
Yeah.
And we will continue to, because the Democratic Party is for the people, even those that don't realize it. That is what we're doing. So we continue forward, you know,
and, yeah,
and we be who we are, and we set the standard that good people come in all kinds of sizes and packages.
Right.
And we don't have to agree on everything, but good people are good people. And let's just keep moving forward in that direction.
Well, I think, you know, excuse me, as someone that was a political party guy, you know, the whole idea is to build a coalition. I do think that the Democratic Party has a golden opportunity in front of them over the next 2 to 4 years
right.
to build an incredible coalition.
Right.
Because the guy that's in there right now is not going to do a lot of good things.
Right.
How does it look as a state senator, you know, to get things done and to do?
Well, it's interesting. So again, as every day I learn more, I get more and more emails. My staff is now in place, which is exciting.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah. So that's part of it too. I started getting, you know, 50 resumes because I have to hire 3 people.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that
right.
all went on in the, you know, first week and a half also.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's interesting is that the assumption would be now walking in, you know, first we assume that everything is bipartisan and fair in Madison. And yesterday I got an email that they announced what the Joint Finance Committee makeup was. So the majority gets to list, basically they come up with what the committees are and the numbers that will be in. So Joint Finance is the committee that literally holds the yeah. purse strings to the point where they've removed governor power.
Yeah.
So even after something's voted on, a bill, a law is passed, they still don't have to release money, which I find interesting. So yesterday I get an email. It's from Hasselbein, somebody, that says, here are the people that are on the committee. It's 12 to 4.
Yeah, right.
Really?
Yeah.
In an almost 50-50 Senate, you got that. What?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me. How can it be, or I can't remember what the number was, but it is gross, like super majority Republicans and super minority Democrats on the Joint Finance Committee that controls all of the money beyond the powers it's ever had in an almost 50-50 state. Now, to me, a rational person would think that's not right.
Right.
But those aren't the things that get talked about. They don't get talked about. So there's so much that I wish that people would take the step and get on a county board or get on a city council or get involved so that you start to feel the reality of the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And once you've done that, I think you've earned the right to have deeper conversations out loud. Mm. And I think that everybody's verbiage would change a little bit if they realize the skewing that goes on inside of politics and how it's bad for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And when you change rules that benefit one side for 10 years, then all of a sudden you want to change that rule when somebody else gets control. And we're going to feel that. I assure you that's coming down the pipe.
I would have thought that they would have seen this coming and be like, hey, you know what? Maybe let's take the foot off the gas
right?
a little bit.
Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Just because you have an ultra majority doesn't mean you should bulldoze what you want, because
right.
it will have a repercussion. And that is the case on both sides.
Right.
Again, rational thought, common sense, make forward progress the direction you want. But otherwise, if we do this pendulum swing, then nothing good comes from
it. Well, and it's going to swing the other way. You know,
it's about to swing.
And for the last 10 years, if you were a Democrat and wanted to pass a bill, you had to give up your first position on the bill you freaking wrote.
First, second, third,
right.
years goes by. Yeah. And yet all the other side claims bipartisan support. Well, come on.
Right.
Come on. You're only putting up your stuff. 97% of the bills that ever got a hearing came from the Republicans. They wouldn't
right.
even listen. They wouldn't even let them have a conversation.
So what's going to happen? You know, you're there for a couple of years, 4 years.
Yeah.
Hey.
It'll be entertaining. The first two will be entertaining. The second two will be even more entertaining. And then we'll see what happens after that.
Right on. Well, and I hope that we're with you every step
Absolutely.
Of the way and getting some updates and everything.
Absolutely. Anytime.
State Senator-elect Chris Alfheim, I love you. Thank you so very much for your time.
Love you too.
Go get them.
Thanks. Bye.